This is the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 55. Welcome to the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 55. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Ruckoff podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the rucking community. In this episode, we have an interview with GORUCK cadre Dustin about the GORUCK immersion events. I met Dustin back in January of 2018. At Constellation 12 in Seattle. I had a great time at that event. When we were talking there, he mentioned that he was going to be running some of the immersion events coming up. And so I figured what better person to reach out to than the person who is running point on those events. I love the water, so I was very excited when GORUCK announced the immersion events. Unfortunately, they did end up canceling the Seattle events, so I won't be attending those. And Dustin and I actually get into that on why some of the upcoming immersion events were canceled. Before we get into the interview, as always, I like to give thanks to those who have left reviews on either our Apple Podcast page, which is on iTunes, or on our Facebook page. This week, we've got a review off Facebook. 5 stars from Michael Wright, who says, love it, great resource for the community, and excellent info. 5 stars. Thank you so much for leaving that, Michael. I'm glad that you're enjoying the podcast, you're enjoying the website, and that you consider this a great resource. That really means a lot, because that's all this is supposed to be, is a resource for ruckers and for people who are training up for their next event. So thank you so much for leaving that. I truly appreciate it. As always, if you want to support the podcast, you can head over to iTunes or our Facebook page. Just search for All Day Ruckoff on either of those platforms and you can leave a review. Obviously, I read them all because you hear them during the podcast episodes and they truly, truly do mean a lot. If you want to support the podcast financially, as always, you can check out our online store at alldayruckoff.com/store, where we have a lot of rucking-related gear for sale. Updates this week. I hope everyone who's in the United States had an amazing 4th of July. I hope that if you took part in one of the 4th of July events, that you had an excellent time there, and I would absolutely love to hear about it. This is kind of exciting. We are in July now, which means GORUCK's Christmas in July sales are going on. They had a crazy start to the week, some just madness sales. And they did something this year that they've never done previously, which is every day of the sale, they're having a sales meeting and determining what sold if they hit their numbers. And then depending on what they've sold, they're raising prices on some of their sale items. So the price that's on the website right now is the lowest it will be for the sale at this time. And the prices are only going up. I know there are a number of people who are a little upset about that with the GR2s because they were at a crazy low price, the 34 liters, because those are being discontinued. And so I think they're down to $255 or something, just crazy. And it was on that first day on July 2nd that the prices jumped up to, I think, $355 because they had sold so many of those. So if you're in the market for GORUCK gear, check out that Christmas in July sale. From what I hear, events will be on sale starting this coming Monday, which is July 9th. If you're on our email list, I'll be sending an email out about that. I did get an email sent out about that Christmas in July sale, and it actually got out a solid 5+ hours before Gorok's email went out. And honestly, I was a little nervous emailing out about it because I was seeing them add the products to the sale page by the minute while I was writing up this email. And so I didn't know if they were still going to be around when it got sent and when people started reading it the next morning. But a lot of people did respond with a huge thanks because that email got them the lowest price on the GR1s at $205 or that GR2 at $255. So I'll be sending out another email if the events do go on sale. And so hopefully you can take advantage of that. If you are going to be shopping on Goruck, you can use the link acrt.us/goruck or acrt.us/grsteals to head on over and buy stuff from them. Those are both affiliate links, and it's no extra cost to you at all. You'll pay the same price either way. The difference is that All Day Ruckoff will get a minor cut in the sale, which will allow us to, you know, continue producing these episodes, buy more equipment for the podcast, and who knows, possibly set up an in-person podcasting studio. So if you are going to be buying something with Goruck and you do want to support the podcast, that's definitely one way you can do that. And it's truly appreciated. Without any further announcements, here is the awesome interview with Kadri Dustin about Goruck immersion. I'm here talking with Dustin, who is a cadre for Goruck. I'm really excited about this call. I met him back in January in Seattle at Goruck Constellation. And when we were talking there, he was talking about the Goruck immersion events. And so I can't wait to talk to him because we're going to hopefully get into some of those immersion events and what's going on with that. Dustin, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Glad to hear it. Happy Tuesday. Thank you so much again for being on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into Goruck immersion, I would just love to hear about how you got involved with Goruck.
It's actually pretty simple. Most people know him, Padre Andy, or Top. He's one of my really close friends, and I've always admired him. We've known each other since first fourth, and when he was out in Oki for a little bit, got stationed back at third, and as soon as he got to third, he hit me up and he's like, "Hey man, you should probably sign up one of these events." And so I actually got one of my other best friends, Cody Alfred, who is finishing up his event to be a cadre. And me and him ran out to Charlotte Tuff and did the event, and that's where I started my event. It took a little longer than normal just because I want to say that was like 2013. I just came back from deployment, and at that point I was constantly doing workups and leaving. So I didn't actually finish my train up until I moved up to the regiment in like 2015. I stayed pretty active with the team for a while, and it's pretty impossible as you move up in the team ranks and the Raiders to take off every Friday and not be there when your team's doing a train up to overseas. So,
yeah, I can imagine that would definitely get in the way.
Yeah, but now I do them pretty regularly. Andy's actually on his way back in. He just retired and he was getting healthy, and now he's hit me up a couple times, and we got a few events that we're trying to work out together. Since then, I've been lucky enough to get some of my closest friends and who I consider family members hired on, like Michael DeNoyer is Cadre Michael. He's one of the Starks that leads the immersion with me. And then, I mean, Cadre Reno, Cadre Cody will be actually finishing up Tallahassee. And then my brother just finished up his event and he does immersion with me as well. So
that's awesome. So you're bringing a lot of people in.
I try to. If they're a good dude in the teams and fun to work with, and I feel that they'd be a great influence on anybody out there. I like to keep it a steady flow of people because we're always moving.
Yeah, and honestly, what better person to try and bring in more cadre for GORUCK than people, you know, cadre who are running events and know what it takes and what, you know, what kind of a person would make a good GORUCK cadre. So makes perfect sense.
Yeah, they do. And that's a good thing. You got to give out the headquarters as well. Headquarters, even if a cadre looks up or a guy looks up the page for GORUCK and sees, you know, we're hiring or puts in an application, the first thing headquarters does is they put it out to the team guys, especially guys from that area. Like if it's a Marine saying I was special operations, they immediately ask us and they show us this documentation saying, hey, I was here. We're all very small knit groups and stuff, and we most of the time we don't have any issues. Like, heck yeah, I know that guy is a great guy. I look forward to working with him. Sometimes there's a few guys in there that like to claim they were something, but their documentation doesn't even state it, and then it just is backed up by the fact that nobody knows them.
Yeah, there's probably no better group to look into that stuff.
Yeah, we're definitely not keepers of the badge. As soon as the guy puts the stuff up there, everybody's like, hey, heck yeah, like thumbs up. I know that guy well. And if one guy doesn't, we definitely reach out to everybody and making sure, like, we like the triple check because that's our reputation getting out there in front of the GRT saying, hey, this guy's a special operations guy and we stand by what he's going to teach you. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Your seal on it is, you know, you vouching for it. So your first event was out in North Carolina?
Yeah. So to get hired on, you have to actually complete an event. And so my first event that I completed was Charlotte, North Carolina. Tough. Yeah, just a tough because myself and Cody, who a bunch of people in North Carolina, Raleigh, actually just had an event with him. We had just finished a Raider workout. The CrossFit workout at the time. We went and we just finished that, and I was like, hey man, let's sign up for this. And every bit of dislike for each other we had, we were like, all right, let's do this. And went up there and spent 12 hours, a little chilly, but laughing about the whole thing because, you know, I mean.
What else are you going to do? So was the event what you expected it was going to be like, or was it a little different?
It was, Andy did really well at prepping us, telling us what to do, like just show up, shut up, keep your mouth shut, and don't let them know your special operations. But little did I know, Andy reached out to, I want to say it was Cadre Bill, and told him, hey, you got two guys coming up. And then he also, us Marines, we like to make sure we're either strong or smart, and well, me and Cody are strong, so. He told us 40 pounds, and in our head, 40 pounds is 40 heavy pounds, and then whatever I wanted to drink, eat, and everything. So I think by the end state, because I like to overpack just to make sure I got everything, just I'm not an uncomfortable person. And as everybody knows, when I do my events, I'm also a guy who constantly eats. And so I had a bag full of food, extra clothes, extra shoes, 40 solid dive weight pounds. Yeah, so my bag weighed a good comfortable like 75, I want to say, for my event. And Cody's was right there the same. And as we sat there waiting, they call it the ruck off, waiting and watching, everybody just tossing their backpacks on. Like, yeah, I got this, let's go. Me and Cody both were like, I think something's wrong, man. There's no way people can throw the bag on.
That's wild. Yeah. Yeah, there's no way everyone's slinging 75 over their shoulder just like that.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the after actions debrief that Bill gave to Andy. Like, hey man, those dudes are good, but who told them to bring such heavy rust? And then Andy just kind of gave an evil chuckle. He's like, well, I told them to make sure they had weight.
Yeah, dive weights are tricky too because they're so small and condensed. I mean, you can get a lot in there without taking up too much room.
Yeah, I mean, we both did our first rucks with our mountain ruck. Our deployment rucks, basically. So there was plenty of room for everything. I could probably fit two small people in my bag, and it was nowhere near full. But looking at everybody else's backpack, I was like, "There's no way their weight is the same as ours." And we tested a few, and even a few people, like when we were doing the event, they were like, "Hey, can we check your ruck out?" And they're like, "What in the heck do you have in there?" And we just kind of like, "Yeah, we're dumb."
Oh, but at least we're strong, right?
Yeah, you're smart or strong.
That's awesome. So you did that first event, and did you know right away afterwards that you still wanted to be a cadre for GORUCK?
Yeah, right after I finished the event, I mean, I knew instantly. I called Andy up and was like, hey, man, it's going to be a good time. I really look forward to the first event that I get to actually work with you. And he was like, yeah, man, let's just get you hired. And so we did. I got hired on. I think my next event I ended up doing was down in Myrtle Beach. I did two events there with Cadre Aaron. I think he sticks more to fads now. I haven't really seen him out running around doing events, but he also opened up a business down there. And then after that one, I was in a school, Free Fall JM, and had free time and shot up to Virginia Beach. And that's where I did my last event, which was a pretty cool event to do because it was a tough, but it was also the largest tough I've ever seen. Like, I want to say it was like either 75 to 80 participants in that. And I mean, we had a great time in Virginia Beach right there in the water. Got to crush them, suicides. We had a real good time. And I mean, I got to work with Cadre Rob at that time. Dr. Rob, he still runs around, does them. I mean, we had a great time.
That's awesome. And the small events are fun too in their own right, but those large events with a ton of people, I mean, there's nothing like them.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it. I like the small events because it's definitely more personal and all that stuff. But those large events, like, you really get to see a team either eat itself or a team really come together and work out. And as I've grown doing my events, I've found that, one, I can't stand yelling at people, and two, I'd much rather make sure people learn something than are just like 100% crushed. Like, I mean, I like to crush some people just like the rest of them, but on the same portion of it, I like to make sure it's not just about, hey, you can't do this. I like to make sure they learn from the event.
That's great. That's awesome. And that makes, you know, perfect sense why you would start doing would align with the immersion and survival events that focus on teaching.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey brought me in on the Constellation itself, and as soon as he brought me in on the Constellation, those were the good old days too, when it was two to three cadre on a Constellation, and you were chasing participants throughout the town, duct taping them to the ground and macing them or something. That was just a great time. I mean, Constellation is still a great time now. It's just harder to get out there and chase the participants when you got to track like 9 teams, and you've only got you. So Constellation changed just a little. Got to get brought in on the expedition side of it too, because I grew up in the mountains and about it. So I'll be a full up instructor.
That's awesome. So Mickey brought you on with Constellation. Did you know right away that you wanted to be involved with those types of events, or were you a little apprehensive and wanted to stick with the traditional light toughs, heavies?
No. So my second event, I want to say, was the HTL Cadre Flashes retirement out in California. And I just got paired up with Mickey. We're both three-time Marines. I don't know. I just got really lucky because Mickey, like, I mean, it was me, Mickey, Brett Vernon, and Flash himself. And so we all worked really well together, had a great time for that event. And that just kind of set it on. You definitely want to make sure you enjoy what you do. That way it doesn't seem like it's a job. And Mickey and I did, after we did that one, we hopped on I want to say we did the 9/11 that year together. And then from there it was just set. Like, as soon as I needed an extra cadre, I'd pull Mickey in, or if he needed one, he'd pull me in, and we ended up working together a bunch. And then he told me about the Constellation series and that. And so as soon as he told me about it, I was like, awesome. I hit BD up. I was like, yeah, I'd really like to try this out. And so they threw me on my train up. And the first Constellation I did was Tampa with Mike Stewart. And it was probably about 5 minutes from my house. And that was last year, June timeframe. And then from there, it was just full bore, jumped on and was running with it. Did the two back-to-back 12-hour Constellations in San Francisco, Atlanta, Indianapolis. Me, Mickey, and Will were jumping all over the place. just having a grand time.
That's awesome. And you and Mickey work really well together. It's fun seeing you two run an event.
Yeah, you got to have a weird sense personality. I mean, I don't think there's a consolation instructor that I don't work well with. I like them all, and they're just great to see because everybody's got their own teaching methods. I mean, Cleve, I just brought Cleve on to the immersion side of it. He did Annapolis, which was kind of shortened due to some logistical backlash, but we're doing the 12-hour New York one coming up. But Cleve's actually a real good friend of mine too, and I want to say the first time we worked together was out doing a Sleepy Hollow Halloween event, and we hit it off there too. Cleve knows some really close friends of mine, and it just turned out that we knew each other, we just didn't know each other as much as we thought we did. And then a buddy was like, hey, why do you call him Cleve? You know his name's this. And I was like, well, that makes sense. That's how I know him then. And so yeah, there isn't a consolation instructor that I don't enjoy linking up with. And it's, if you ever get to see us flying in, if we're flying in from different places, like it's like a high school reunion for a little bit, getting to laugh and joke about it. And then you get into the serious portion of it.
That's awesome. That's got to be a ton of fun getting together with all those guys.
It is. It's a good group. I mean, I think we've got a real solid group of cadre itself. I mean, every now and then someone screws up, does something dumb, but we're all pretty quick to wrap them in, or I mean, headquarters is pretty quick to say, hey, nope, that doesn't fly. So, I mean, I think we got a pretty good group.
I absolutely agree. Every cadre I've had so far has been awesome. So it's a great group.
Yeah, it is. I got real lucky last year. I know BD real well, and I've worked with him a couple times, and Mocha hit me up knowing how much I love to put people in the water, and he's like, hey, I'm pretty sure BD needs some help with the 24-hour beach event. And so I called him, and he was like, yeah, I need somebody to take it over. And so I jumped on board on the 24-hour beach event, and I threw one other guy on it. I threw DeNoyer on it, and then Mike Pitt came up as well to help run it, because 24 hours was a nightmare. And that was also one of those events that there was really no rest period. Like normally for the 24 hour events, the heavies or something, the cadre will swap out, and that way we're fresh on our toes. And myself, the Neuer, Pick, I mean, we were all in the water pretty much the whole time, right, with them and that. And so from there, I knew I wanted to continue on with the immersion stuff. And BD was extremely generous to allow me to be a part of the whole setup of the entire event itself. So
that's very cool. That's BD is one of my favorite cadre. I did a heavy class number 9 with him, and he is a blast. That guy loves the water.
Yeah, he does. We call him Uncle Shug. Uncle Sugar does. He loves the water, but he also loves to do a little big old hug for the group.
That's awesome. So yeah. He flew you in for immersion 24. I think they called that Beached Beta 24, the one that was down in Jacksonville. And then since then you've been running the immersion events. We talked a little bit before we started recording because you just got out of the pool. You said that you're in the pool every day. Do you want to touch briefly on your background with the water and why immersion just seems like it's the perfect event series for you?
Yeah. So much like any reconnaissance marine out there, it's fully insert capable. You're a diver, you're a jumper. You have your background is basically water. And from 2003 on for the rest of my career, I've pretty much spent all my train ups, my workups, everything in the water. From boat insertion to jumping with a water insert or diving. I did dive school 2004, could be off. Then from dive school, when the Raiders stood up, I went to McQuist, which is Marine Corps Water Safety Instructor Course, which makes you a Red Cross lifeguard out in the civilian world. But it basically, I teach Marines how to swim, and even better off on it. Like for the Marine Raider background, I was one of the lead instructors for all the water safety and the water training, because we have to have them trained up to a certain level before we can put them in open water to do anything. So from 2003 until now, water's just been a part of my workout. I really, if I have it available to me, I prefer to swim over running. So I'll swim anywhere from 500 to 1,000 a day, and it helps me not to be fat because I like to eat. And so between that and just working out itself, I don't know, I really like the water. And I don't think, there's one or two events out there that I've had, regular legacy events that I've had, that I actually haven't put them in the water. And some of them I put them in the water and the participants were straight like, are you seriously going to put us in that? So
would you say that you're one of the cadre who seeks out water for an event at nearly any cost?
Yes, 100% I am. And in fact, there's feeds too on some of the pages where I chime in sometimes, because as soon as I put my warning order out there for whatever event I'm doing, I've got a certain style, a certain way I like to do it. One, everybody carries a KIA from certain time period that includes the event. So 3 days prior to the event and 3 days after, everybody will carry a KIA member. That way, during some portion of that event, they'll tell us about them. But there's feeds about it where I'm like, well, I don't understand why everybody's so mad. Like, it's not like you're guaranteed to get wet. And someone will chime off like, I've had 3 events with you, all of them being light, and I've been wet for every one of them. So I don't understand how you don't think that we'll get in the water. I mean, it goes even a little further with the Sleepy Hollow Halloween event. The class was so big, we had 3 cadre there, and we split it up to three groups, and we just moved all throughout Sleepy Hollow itself. And I moved my portion down to this little dock that I had found that was behind and hidden, and made them all get in the water. And then we pushed up and linked back up. And from there, we combined the 3 groups and made 2 large groups. And you got to pretty much choose what cadre you wanted to stay with. And everybody who stayed with me, we pushed right back down to that pier, because there was people who hadn't been in the water yet. And I pushed back down to that little dock, and when we got there, one of the participants was like, "Cadre, there's ice on the dock." And one of the other GRTs that was there looked up and was like, "Yeah, that's from us earlier." They had to break the ice off the dock and then splash back in the water. But I mean, like I said, I like to do rewarming. I mean, not rewarming, but a class for it. And since I've gone through cold weather training and all that stuff, I've done the cold water training where you stand in it for 5 minutes, or you float in it for 5 minutes, and you have to rewarm your body and everything. So I break it down smartly. Like, if it's that cold, then I'll actually go in depth into a cold water actual training. Hey, this is how you actually properly rewarm your body. And I give a whole class before I throw them in. I don't just throw them in where they're drenched in their clothes, and then everybody who's 100 pounds or 120 and less start to shiver to the point where they're like, nope, I'm done. There's no way you can, once you get so far into hypothermia, there's no way you can warm them up enough. So I like to make sure I do it smartly, because number one thing I put out there is the participant's safety is 100% my focus, no matter what.
That's awesome. And that's, I mean, what a perfect way to do it. And I mean, that's probably why you get to continue throwing everyone in the water, because it's, I mean, you just have such a smart angle on it.
Yeah. And I mean, it shows too, if there was ever any doubt, like some of the GRTs will throw it out there saying, no, they're just out there to crush people. When we did the Traverse City beta, myself and BD were up there, and we had one guy start to hype out, and BD was rewarming him, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw 2 other fellas and a girl walking off, and well, they were, oh, we're done, she can't get warm. And so I immediately stopped them. I was like, you guys will go get by the fire, and she's not leaving until I feel comfortable that she's actually good. And from that point on, we ended up canceling that event because conditions just didn't work out well for it. So BD looked at me, and we made the call, hey, we're going to cancel the night portion of this event. Everybody's going to come back at a certain time, and then we're going to finish it. So that way we could finish with the the actual entire event. We came back earlier in the morning, and then from there we finished out the 12 and the 6 hour event, but we did it where it was smarter, where we had warmth, we could rewarm them, we had a fire going and everything. So it was definitely a big thing we like to do. Safety has always been the key thing for Go Rut.
But especially with these water events, and that's such a huge decision to make, you know, halfway through the event, that you've got to cancel or postpone it till the following day for safety issues. And I mean, that's never fun to see, but it's nice to see that those kind of decisions are made so that people signing up for the event can feel, you know, more comfortable that they're going to be safe throughout the whole experience.
Yeah, it doesn't suck if you have to stop it because somebody's actually injured or anything like that. Like, that's definitely the first thing right off the bat. It sucks the feeling that we get. Like, we immediately go into what could I have done better to ensure that safety, because ultimately as a cadre, our goal is to connect with the participants. And I try to look at every event that I do just 100%, like, hey, could I have done something better to connect with them? Or was I just not communicating on what needs to happen and that? But if you're part of an event where somebody goes down, it is just, it immediately just fits in you, and you have to reevaluate everything and see what you can do. So safety is definitely 100% what we look at.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense. And I think a lot of people have had, you know, similar feelings when things don't go quite according to plan, and you got to, you know, reevaluate, and you're always second guessing. But I mean, it's a tough call to make, and it's just always reassuring to hear that cadre are continuing to make those tough calls.
Yeah, and it, I mean, we as a whole, and headquarters and GoRuck itself too, like, when we do plan these events, we plan them with whatever safety we can in on it. When I do my immersion events, if I don't have one of our sarks or our docks there, then the second or third cadre, the second cadre is one of the survival cadre, just for the fact that, one, we teach medical at every class we do. I know that if something comes down to it and it breaks down and medical has to be done, there's no better people to have by my side than those people that, you know, teach the medical side of an event every time.
It makes complete sense. So we talked about Beach 24 beta, then it moved into Traverse City, I think was a week or 2 weeks after that, and there was the 12 and the 6. And then brand new for 2018 was the full-fledged Immersion 6 and Immersion 12 events. So
yes.
Very exciting to see those on the calendar. How many of those events have run so far in 2018?
So with the immersion that was born from the betas, a lot of stuff, and it's a learning curve too. This first year for headquarters, for myself as a lead cadre and everything. So these events, they take a little bit more skill set than your standard just get out there and do the miles. And then we've learned that, like, hey, you can't just show up to a place and throw 30 people in the water and not have permits and all that stuff. So as of right now, I've had 6 and 12 Georgia, 6 and 12 San Diego, 6 and 12 Jacks Beach. I had a modified 6 for Annapolis. I've got a 12 this weekend in New York. And then we are working the numbers right now. If the numbers get up, we'll have a 6 and 12 in Boston and that. But because we have to purchase the permits and stuff, it's a little harder to say, hey, these events are going to go no matter what, because permits have to be bought about 30 days out. So they start to get real picky with, not picky, but we start to really look hard at the event itself. And if people are signed up, like 6 or 8 people are signed up on the event, then there's the bang for the buck, because if the permit costs so much, and there's only so much for this, and then you still got to fly out to cadre, because if if it's more than 10 people, as a regular lifeguard himself, you can only watch 10 people. So when you throw another lifeguard in there, then it can be 20. So safe-wise, you start to really push it if you're going over those numbers. And it becomes more difficult. So there's actually been a lot of the immersion events have had to be canceled due to low participant numbers. And it's like I said, it's a learning curve too, is like booking multiple survival events on the same weekend in the same town or the same city makes it also difficult. Like, hey, you know, I want to sign up for this, or I want to do this. Everybody wants to come out. I've had great numbers on people saying, hey, I want to show up and do this. But on the same portion of it, it took us a little longer to launch the actual event itself. And a lot of GRTs plan their events from the beginning of the year. And then halfway through the year, we finally launched the event. And so I don't know, we're learning as we go. This is the first year of immersion. As of right now, unless numbers jump up, the New York 12-hour may actually be the last immersion of the year, with a pull back in, refocus our group and make sure we've got what we need, where we need it, and then bring it back for 2019. But we're still holding on and fighting for the Boston 6 and 12. Myself and Andy will be running that one if we get the numbers up.
Yeah, and there's just so many things to consider there that you don't have to consider at a typical GoRuck Light or Tough. I mean, staying in the water the whole time, you know, obviously that the permit's a big one, because when you're running a light, you know, you can just throw people in the water quick, have them do some PT and get out of there. But if you're going to be around for 6 or 12 hours, I mean, that's definitely something that's got to be picked up. And then just that, I didn't realize there was a 10 person rule on the participant to cadre ratio.
It's not so much the 10 person to cadre. That's actually a Red Cross lifeguard side of it. It's if I put 10 people in the water and I'm sitting on a chair, those are to keep my eye on those 10 people is difficult enough, because we got the ones that like to swim underneath the water. We got the ones that want to jump off stuff. And then you toss in 11, 12, and the next thing you know, you're starting to overload that individual, that lifeguard, and that. So they like to keep the number at 10 per lifeguard. So the cadre number is we do two there, no matter, at a minimum, 100%. Two cadre will be at the immersion, just for the simple fact that, I mean, I had somebody hype out in Jacks Beach, Florida. So when it comes down to cold water and stuff, we do a couple things for the safety side of it. The cadre will always be in less clothing than the GRTs, and that's not because we feel that we are calendar models. It's because if I'm cold in the water, I know they're cold. And then on top of that, if it is cold enough, I'll always keep one cadre out of the water. That way, if I notice my cadre that's in the water start to stutter a little bit or slow it down, I'll pull him out, warm him up, and then I'll get in. That way, we constantly have somebody that is right there with the participants that has the best of interest in their mind. And it's worked out dividends for us.
That's awesome. And for what it's worth, everyone I've talked to who has done an immersion event so far has absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I've had great people show up to these events too. I mean, I've had people from California fly to Georgia and do them, and then found out that there was a San Diego event going, and they signed up for the San Diego event as well. I've had really good group of people show up. But then again, you can't really go to any state and not get a good group of GRTs.
It's so true. And that's, you know, one of the most fun things about traveling to different states is meeting all the GRT who are there.
Yeah.
So there's a immersion 6 and there's an immersion 12. What would you say roughly the number of people who sign up for both of them? Is that something that's feasible, or should people be looking at one or the other?
So I've had a lot of people hit me up asking me if they need to know how to swim. I'm okay with you not knowing how to swim, as long as you don't freeze up in the water. If you freeze up as soon as I put you in waist deep water, then there's then I can't really focus on you. I have to, you know, I have all the participants I have to watch. So if you're frozen in the water, I'll immediately pull you out and you'll have to go straight into the shadow side of an event. But if you're confident enough to get in the water and actually move around, then I'll teach you. And I would say that if your confidence level isn't that high, then the 6-hour event would be for you, because it's a little more of the basic stuff. I'm teaching you more of how to save yourself and float with yourself and that. And then if I go into the 12-hour event, then I'm actually teaching more in depth of the medical side of it. The 12-hour event will 100% make a raft. And I like to make sure that our raft is big enough that you can fit most of the class on, if not all of it. And then the medical side of it, we go more in depth on the splints and all that side. So you don't have to do one or the other event before you get to do one event, but you definitely have to show up and be willing to listen. That's the biggest thing. I've only had to drop really one guy from an event, and he froze up getting in the water. As soon as we put him in the water, he froze up and wouldn't move. He was terrified, and nothing on him. He just was terrified of the water and thought that I'd be able to take most of the time to teach him how to swim. I can give you a couple pointers right off the bat, but if you're not going to move, or if you're too scared to actually move when you're in deep water, then I can't take all my time off the rest of the participants.
Absolutely. And water is one of those interesting fears. I mean, some people just have it, and the second they hit water, I mean, that's it. You know, just like some people, whenever they see spiders, like they can't move, or snakes or whatever. And that's what gets them. There's those people who they hit water and done. So it would make sense that you don't want to be that person at the event, because it's not going to work out. But on the flip side, that's really awesome to hear that, you know, even if you're not the strongest swimmer, that you can still show up to these events and learn a lot.
Yeah, the only thing I need is, like, I'm not asking for you to be an Olympic swimmer. I'm not asking you to be perfect at anything. I'm asking for you to be willing to trust the fact that I am not going to let anything happen to you. One of the things that I say to most GRTs who ask me, like, what if I drown? Like, well, I mean, GoRuck's based off of return customers. It does no good that if you drown, then you're not really a return customer. So it does me no good if you don't make it.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that'd be some pretty bad press there, right? You know, so you're probably going to do everything in your power to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And a lot of people ask too, like, what about sharks and what about this? Well, I don't have a shark meter on me, so I can't tell you how many sharks are around, but I can tell you that I know that the depth that I'm willing to go to ensure that everybody's safe, and that I do whatever I can to make sure that you feel comfortable. And I've had participants that are terrified of murky water, and flashlights shining in the water only make you more terrified, but they 100% participated and finished both events and loved it. So it was definitely a good time.
That's awesome. So you just mentioned finished both events. What would you say, I don't know, on average, or how often do you see people do both the 6 and the 12 on the same weekend?
For the most part, honestly, I've had a lot of return customers for the 12. And if they're doing the 6 and that, and we start to talk a little bit about, hey, you know, we're going to do this for the 12 and that, they immediately either finish the 6 and sign back up for the 12 too. We've had great success with a lot of people being like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to show up for the 12 too. Because we don't teach exactly the same stuff. We do a quick recap and then we go into more in depth of everything else. And it's just a really, really good time.
That's so awesome to hear. And I mean, that's got to make you incredibly happy and, I mean, proud in a way too, right? That you taught a class that was so awesome that there was someone who signed up for the 6 and they said, I'm going to sign up for the 12 between the two events, because that was such a good time and I learned a lot and I want to, you know, keep doing this.
Yeah. It does. It definitely gives you a sense of accomplishment. And it also shows too, just like the cadre that go through these events, like in between events, you like to get some sleep a little bit so you can be fresh for it. These events 100% just beat the cod rate up. You go from 6 hours in the water, and I mean, the Georgia, the first one we did, me and Mike were right there with the GRTs until we did the FTX for the six, and then I was out watching. And then for the 12-hour event, for the most portion, we were either in the water with them or we were making sure the fire was warm enough because it had gotten pretty chilly and that. But for the most part, we're there with the participants doing something. I mean, if both of us aren't in the water, it's for some type of safety purpose of it. But if we can and the water's hot enough, then we'll be in the water with you because it's something that we love to do. We love to be in the water. I mean, we've been cold, wet, and hungry for most of our career, so it's just something fun to do for us.
And you can absolutely tell just hearing you talk about it how much you enjoy this.
Yeah, it is. It's a really, I mean, I enjoy it so much that my brother's my hero, and he's doing his first shadow event for the survival series this Sunday. And then if my numbers get big enough, he'll be out, because I've actually got Constellation Tampa as well this year. So if my numbers get big enough, he'll come out and shadow for the Constellation too. So he'll be a full-up survival instructor.
That's awesome. And I mean, it just seems like the survival events are, people just love them. And I don't know if it's they didn't expect to when they first showed up, but I mean, this isn't the first time. I talked to Cadre Diaz last week and he was telling me that he had the same thing happen where people showed up for the six and they had such a good time that they said, you know, screw whatever plans I've got. I'm staying here for the 12.
It happens quite a bunch. And if they don't sign up, it's because they had something going on. But for the most part, the cadre will 100% jump through hoops to make sure that if they do want to sign up, they can actually do the event. And I really like those events when people are like, you know what, I'm coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a totally different I'm coming back moment than you see at like an HTL or a TL where they're coming back to, you know, prove something to themselves that they, you know, stand the beating more. It's they're coming back because they're learning and they're learning so much that they want to keep learning more. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah. And it's only going to get better. We're only going to improve and keep getting better. We don't like to be sell water. We like to keep moving. So we definitely will improve.
Awesome. And I mean, you see that at from Constellation 2017 to 2018. Changes were made. You see how the GORUCK challenges have evolved over the years. And if, you know, if there's one thing that's consistent with GORUCK, it's change and improvement. And so I have no doubt that these events will just continue to get better and better.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing it grow and moving forward.
So when I did Constellation in 2017 and then again in 2018, one of the big pieces that was imparted was your how you were prepared mentally for the event. And you kind of had to put yourself in this disaster situation. And you and Mickey, you know, laid out what kind of a world that we were pretending that we were in during Constellation. And I had a buddy who did Expedition the first weekend that they were out. And that was a big thing as well, the mindset. You know, there's his Expedition 6 was like he was lost on a hike in the woods and this is how you survive that. And then Expedition 12 was they were on a helicopter and it crashed and this is how you survive and get out. For the Immersion 6 and the Immersion 12, what kind of survival situations are those, I guess, created to survive from?
So the Immersion 6 and 12 are based around like either boating. The 12, we try to talk a little more about, like, in case, worst case scenario, where it's a plane crash and that, which those are all up in the air. You don't really know if you're going to survive it, if it goes down. And if you do, this is how you can save yourself. But it's all based off of if you're either boating and you're boating offshore for a good portion, because a lot of us live in ocean surrounded states. And then from there, also the plane crash itself, because there's really nothing you can do to prep yourself for the crash portion, but it's after all violent movement stops is what we like to talk about. Like as soon as all violent movement stops, if you are conscious and not like seriously injured, then you definitely can go into the whole saving yourself first and then start looking what you can do to save other people that are around there.
And that's such a, I mean, that's such a wild experience to train for, to survive, because there's, you know, there's so much going on with a plane crash. And then if you're lucky enough to survive that, then, I mean, if you can have the skills to keep going, because it's, there's obviously going to be hurt people around and all of that. I mean, that's such a great scenario to go after with these events.
Yeah, we definitely, and we try to harp on that a lot the whole time, is the way the class is set up, the way we teach and all that stuff. It's save yourself with whatever you have on you, then save yourself with whatever's floating around you. And then you immediately go into the, hey, who can be saved? Save them, because you're going to see multiple people around like you that's swimming around. And so you start bringing people in, and then we also start to breed it like, hey, if idle hands is what gets everybody in trouble if they're quiet. And I mean, I preach it at every event, like, get out of your head. If they're quiet, give them something to do. Start talking to them. Even if it's you're talking nonsense, just talking is sometimes, in the worst case scenarios, everybody remembers that one guy that was talking, because it just helped them get through whatever problem they were there. So we like to attack every little thing that way.
Absolutely. And I mean, one of the better parts about GORC events is that they're such great leadership exercises, and you can, you know, practice leading a small group. And I can only imagine that would translate over in some way to a disaster scenario, where if you have the skills that you've learned from, you know, a couple immersion events, that you could, you know, kind of calm people down and give people actual, things to do that would benefit the situation that you would have learned at these events, instead of, you know, everyone not knowing what to do in this downed plane scenario.
Yeah. And I mean, it really worked out too. And even with the people that have come back to multiple events, like I see fit to make sure that if they're back from multiple events, one, I'm still teaching them something new, even if it is the 6 hour again, like I still throw a little extra in there. And then also with that, I also like to, I'll make sure they're not the ones leading it. Like somebody new, like, hey, you're just going to be a nug in this one. You're just going to help out when I tell you to give a little advice in the spots, but you're going to be a nug. That way everybody gets from it. But if I need a good solid leader, because everybody's just cold and miserable, I'll pull them out of the group and be like, hey, take it. And so they'll run with it from there. So
that's awesome. And that's, I mean, just such a great way to make sure everyone gets some of that leadership experience. And I've done a ton of GORC events, the Lights and the Toughs. And so usually when they're, you know, calling for leaders, I won't be the first one to raise my hand, because I want, you know, I've been a team leader too many times to count. So I want someone else to experience that leadership, training piece. And so it's just an awesome way to go about it.
Yeah. I like to take a little bit of pride on the whole, if I catch you hanging out in the back and hiding and shy and you don't like to talk loud, like, you're the first person I'm going to call on. You're going to be the TL, and I'm going to get inside your little OODA loop, and I'm going to force you to get out of your comfort zone 100%. And I've had really good turnouts with that, where some people just absolutely needed that push to get in charge of something, and that, and the whole event, I'll sit there and kind of pimp them and give them advice throughout it, but they've done real well with it. So I like to see that portion of it, where a lot of us believe that we can't be leaders because we're shy or we're intimidated by it. But just as soon as I put you up there in charge of it, it's all you really needed is someone to push you and stand behind you. And then you're yelling and doing exactly what you need to do to get it done.
That's awesome. And I mean, you've run a number of events, so you're probably just keyed in on picking those people out, the ones that are, you know, kind of making eye contact, but looking away and standing a little far back. Kind of not, you know, standing directly at you, but shuffled off to the side.
Oh, 100%. I pay attention to all the event pages that I'm on and the feeds and stuff. And you can tell the intimidated ones and the nervous ones. And then you can also, like, as soon as we show up, as soon as I do a roll call and that, like, I start to key in on it. And yeah, I like it. You got your strong ones and your loud ones and the ones that know everything. And then you got your ones that are just like, hey, I really just want to see if I can push myself. I've had some really, I don't know, having somebody sign up for both events after doing the 6 hours is awesome. I've had some really good events too, where somebody did something that they just weren't willing to do, but they put that trust in me, and because I did it with them right there, they took that leap. And I've had some events where at the end of it, like through the tears, they were just all about hugs, like thank you so much, and that just moves everything. So makes you feel good.
That's awesome, man. You can just hear it in your voice how much you enjoy being a cadre and running all these events. That's awesome.
Yeah, I do. It gets me out of my comfort zone. And I say it at every event at the end of it, like, guys, if it wasn't for you, I'd be at my house arguing with my dogs and drinking my rum. And they all kind of giggle about it, but that's 100% the truth, is I would be at my house arguing with my two Great Danes.
That's great that you as a cadre are able to pull from it as well. I mean, I always feel like that when I'm at events, that, you know, everyone's getting a positive experience out of it. That's cool for you to confirm that.
Oh, 100%. I learned from my events just as much as you guys do.
So for GoRuck Immersion 6 and 12, I mean, obviously you don't need to spoil the surprise of things that happen at the events, but just what are some of your favorite things that people learn at them, or that you teach at the events, or that just happen at these events?
Well, I like to take, I teach them a little bit of knots, and every time during the event or after the event, I ask them, like, hey, what do you guys remember? What did we talk about? And for every event I've done so far, square knot is apparently the only thing they remember, is that square knot are the knot to use. But I also like to go into depth, and I like to really show the whole gambit of it. Like, if you didn't think you could build something that one is going to float and that your whole team can get on, like, that portion's amazing to watch, because they will. And I'll give them pointers throughout the whole thing. You know, I've done a couple of events now, and I know what really works better and all that stuff. And it just is nice. It's really good to see, especially when they get out there and they're like, wow, we can all get on this raft.
That's awesome. And I think survival, especially from a disaster like that, is such a foreign concept, and it's not really something you think about all the time. And just being able to practice it and see that, you know, the skills you're learning work, what a boost of confidence that, you know, hey, if I am in a plane crash and I am lucky enough to survive, I can do something about this. I can take control of the situation, and I can give myself a better chance, as opposed to just saying, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's definitely a big confidence booster on the whole thing. Like, if for whatever reason you are trapped in that scenario, it's definitely nicer to go into a worst case scenario, at least with something in your toolbox, versus I have no idea what's going to happen right now.
Right. And then, I mean, at that point, you probably spend a half an hour thinking about what you should probably maybe be doing, and then a half an hour trying to decide on if that's actually what you want to do. And then you're probably frozen at that point, and it's a little too late.
Yeah. And I mean, we definitely harp on that throughout the whole thing. Hey, stop over analyzing everything and just get something done. It can be the wrong decision right now, but at that point, in that moment, it was the right decision because it got everybody doing something. You can correct on the go, just get people moving.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes total sense. Man, I feel like we've covered a lot with GoRuck Immersion in here. I mean, we kind of went through the betas, how they came about, the 6 and the 12s, and, you know, what you learn at them and why they're such big events. And then We've covered a ton. Is there anything that you can think of that we might have missed, or that you wanna talk about and cover?
No, I think we did a fair shake to it. It's just like Constellation, where it's constantly evolving. We definitely like to make sure that we pay attention to what we like, what we want, and we get it out there. We are still improving the gear list, and we're still improving everything as we go about the whole thing. I think we covered a good amount of information for it.
I think so too. And I mean, I had a great time talking about this, because it's water is something that I love. I swam for years, and it's just, there's nothing like it. So I was very excited when GoRuck brought the immersion events out, and being able to talk to you about them for so long. I mean, this has been a blast. Thank you so much, Dustin.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. I truly hope that you enjoyed that episode with Kadri Dustin. It was awesome to be able to talk to him for so long about the immersion event. I thought it was pretty fitting that when I called him, he was just getting out of the pool from a nice swim, and we were going to be talking about a water event. If you want to check out the show notes, which include links to everything we talked about during the show, as well as links to GoRuck's Christmas in July sale, you can head on over to alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-055. If you want to support the podcast, as always, you can leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. If you've got improvements for the show, or if there's something that you want us to cover in an upcoming episode, please reach out to me directly at Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayruckoff.com, and I will definitely get back to you about that. Thank you so much again for all of your support. If you're listening to this and it's still July, head on over to GoRuck, acrt.us/GoRuck, or acrt.us/GRSteals, and check out that Christmas in July sale, because it's definitely one of their biggest sales of the year. Between this and Black Friday, I don't think that there's a bigger sale that GoRuck runs. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive, and drink hard, rock harder.